I feel good tonight. Did you know I feel victory tonight? Good things are coming. That spirit of discouragement and fear going to run like a scalded dog. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Say this with me. I am not an orphan. Jesus did not forsake me. He did not leave me in this dark world to have to find my own way. Devil, listen to this. I have a Lord. I'm not trying to lead myself. Jesus is my Lord. Devil, you're in trouble. My Lord has already defeated you. And I'm going to walk right over you as He leads me. Hallelujah. That's exactly what's going on. Say, well, it don't feel like it. It will. It will. Don't yield to that spirit of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Well, we're still visiting these face-to-face documents 10 years later with a 10-year perspective. I learned a few things in 10 years. Tonight we're going to continue and probably finish the one that's called His Burden is Light. Now, I'm not going to review all of the last time we met, but I'm going to get our minds going down that path just a little bit. If you'll remember, He showed me a vision in that one. In that vision, I saw myself. Well, here, he said it better than I can paraphrase it. I'll just back up and read that part to you. Did y'all ever get so busy doing things for the Lord that you wind up tying yourself up? And that's what I had done. We want to serve the Lord. I've never been a lazy person. If anything, I tend to be a workaholic, you know. And so, man, I got busy for the Lord and doing my best to pray and obey. And when you do that, some of it is God. Some of it's, I found out, was my own things that I just came up with my own self. Sometimes it was His thing to do, but then how we did it, I came up by my own self. And I gave you a few examples, like when we started the website, I thought it was a great idea to put my email address there. He never told me to put my email address there. Trust me, that was not God. You start getting 8,000 people on your mailing list, just 1% a day, and that's 8,000 addresses. I don't know how many people that is. If just 1% a day say, I'm just going to email old Gary today, just 1%, that's 80. That's 80 right there. That's your day is gone. Okay. So we had to learn, you know, do away with that. And people, we thought we wanted the 800 number. You know, that was another one of my bright ideas. Well, we'll put an 800 number there. And I had good intentions because I wanted people to be able to call even if they couldn't afford it. You know, I didn't want them, you know, in those days. When we started out, cell phones were not real common. Well, that didn't turn out real well either, because in my mind, I was thinking, well, this is how they can order the tapes. And you know what they wanted? They wanted fellowship. And they wanted to be, yeah, just mentor me right here on the phone. I don't have time to listen to your tapes. It has all the answers already. But, you know, you can just tell me here, Gary. And so, again. But this, all that was still going on when this happened here. So, let me just read to you. We'll just launch it from here. Now, what we're going to get into tonight, I already know the title. You ever hear the verse that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick? Boy, have I been there. Some things I've seen the fruition come. And when it comes, it is a tree of life. Just like the proverb says, it's wonderful. Others, oh my God. Surely it's going to come next year. Surely it's going to come. Surely 10 years go by and you're still wondering. Well, we got part, at least a major part of the answer tonight in this one. If there is a way to bring your hope into the present and get some of that stuff accomplished that you know God wants to do, we're going to see that tonight. Hallelujah. Well, rather than me try and summarize that vision, let me just read it to you. He says, see the vision that I am painting in your spirit at this moment, says the Spirit of grace. You have become as a man with many ropes tied around your waist. You see yourself in the center with each rope being tied off in a different direction to a large, unmovable boulder. No matter which direction you try to move, there is a rope extended behind you which will not let you move. If you try to go east, the rope holds you back to the west. If you try to go west, There's a rope that will not let you. It holds you back. If you try to go north, there's a rope holding you back. In every direction, you are bound to works of your own making. It is not that the works represented by the boulders did not originate in the mind of Christ. Some did, some did not. But the ropes represent your own methods, and you have entangled yourself trying to accomplish those things in your own strength rather than learning how to do them in mine. The season you are entering in where you shall learn what this is where you shall learn what this word means, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I have come to untangle you from the ropes. I will untie them, I will remove them, and I will disentangle you from the snare as you hearken to my counsel and obey my voice without question. You will see and soon experience the freedom that belongs to the sons who serve the living God by the Spirit and not by the energy of the flesh. Oh, you shall enjoy this freedom. As the master administrator, I will give you an instruction, and as you obey that instruction, another rope shall fall from around your waist. I will give you another instruction, and as you obey that instruction, another rope shall fall from around your waist. And as this process continues, you shall be free. Notice that the boulders are all still in place. They were not destroyed. They're still there. I will set you free from the yoke of the ropes that have held you to the works. Those that are of God shall remain, and they shall be operated by the Spirit, not by your mind. You shall be free to serve the living Christ on a daily basis. Now, y'all got that picture? Anyone ever feel like that? See, I remember a situation a year, I do have an industrial engineering degree. I graduated, now this will scare you. I graduated from Oklahoma State University in 1969. When I graduated, we were still using slide rules. I had never in my life seen even a handheld calculator. The first year I was working at Union Carbide as an engineer, I saw my first one. The guy was so proud, this engineer that had it. The thing was about, 10, 11 inches long, 5 inches wide, maybe 2 inches thick. He carried it in a big holster on his hip, you know. You know how much it cost? $650. And all it did was add, subtract, multiply, divide, and do square roots. And we were stunned. We were, please, can I hold it? Please, it does square roots? Yes, it does square roots. I mean, that's how far I go back. Well, I keep telling y'all, I didn't always look like this. But anyway. Hey, in high school, I had a duck tail, you know, that I combed it back on the sides with a little duck tail in the back. Now, you wouldn't believe it if you saw my high school graduation picture. Anyway, those days are gone forever. So anyway, to do trigonometry and do those things, we'd use a slide rule and a logarithm book. And you had to carry the books with you because we didn't have any kind of calculator to carry those things. And I'm saying that for a reason, because certain circumstances, there was a certain tragedy in my family that necessitated that I leave my engineering job, and I wound up moving back to Tulsa, and I had to take over the family business. And it was a serious thing, and we're not going to get into that tonight. In order to work out that problem, took about five years. During that 5 years, I wasn't using my engineering training at all. I was right back in the old family concrete business, which I detested. But it was necessary that I do it. Blood is thicker than water. You know, family comes first, and it had to be done. Well, by the time that it was solved, that family problem was solved, took about 5 years. By that time, during that 5 years, I was so obsolete as an engineer, I would almost have to go back and start all over again. I mean, by this time now, we had computers coming out. You could buy a calculator for $10. And the whole world that I'd have to go back almost and do it again. But now I had the responsibility of running a company. I had children now. I had family. I had responsibilities. And even then, way back then, I felt like a man tied off in ropes in all direction. I kept thinking, I hate this job. I hate this job. Well, so the thought would come, well, you're trained to be an engineer. Well, I'm obsolete. Well, you can go to school and get the training. But I'm already working all day long, going home, cleaning up, going out and meeting the architects and the homeowners in the evening. I don't get in till like 9 or 10 o'clock, and then I sit there and I work on estimating the plans and preparing the bids until midnight or 1 o'clock, and then we start the whole thing again tomorrow about 5 in the morning. You know, I felt completely trapped. You ever feel trapped? Circumstances had me. It was a little different than what he's talking about here, but really not. And I could feel those ropes going off in all directions. Well, I need to go to night school. Can't go to night school. Got to make a living. Well, I hate this job. I need to do something else. Yeah, but you can't leave it because you got to have the income. Anyone understand where I'm coming from? Okay. See, I did not have the Holy Ghost in those days. I didn't know how to access Him. So I was just doing everything I could in my own understanding. Looking back on it, He was helping me the whole time anyway. I can see His hand on my life. Even the day we walked through the doors here, He had me living in a house less than 2 miles from, about 2 miles from this church, and had me in a job where I didn't know what was preached here, but He had me in a job where, gee, if I wanted to pray, I could pray, I could get paid to pray. Tell me His hand wasn't on us. It was on us. Well, in this situation, we were in ministry, and now keep it in context, He's trying to get us into the next phase, because at that point especially, we were teaching, but we didn't have very much of the gifts operating in our ministry, you know, a little bit. But He was trying to get us where it happened all the time. So I'm in training, I'm listening to Him, trying to grow up a little bit. And He's trying to get me free, because what I had done with good intentions, trying to help people, trying to obey what I knew for sure He told us to do. Well, we were doing all these things. And I've told you before, Sue and I would clear the furniture out of the living room, spread out the bubble mailers, start sorting the tapes into stacks, stuffing this. Okay, what goes to Joe Smith? 3 of these. Okay, 2 of those. All right, put it in the bubble mailer and get it ready to go. So we're doing it that way. And we couldn't have traveled. We couldn't go anywhere. All this had to be done. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, bless God, you're going to do it. And if you told them the tapes are coming, the tapes are coming. If I told them, or, you know, someone, if my name told them that. So here I am, we're trapped. He says, I can free you from those if you'll listen to me. I have instructions that'll get you out of that trap, and you'll be free. Well, this next paragraph hurts a little bit. Aren't you glad He's talking to me and not you? Because really, when I was hearing that part that He was just talking about there, boy, I'm going to say on, Lord, hallelujah. If you're going to get these ropes off, let's get them off. I'm ready to go. So the next paragraph says, you have asked, and you have asked repeatedly for my precise instructions. And every time you have asked, I have looked into your heart to see if your heart was prepared to obey me without question. Up to now, I have not found such trust. I look into your heart today, and your trust in me has grown greatly this month. Now, that's important. Why that month? Because I was having these almost daily face-to-face encounters with Him. I was coming to the place where I was trusting Him more and more. See, the big thing is when you first start hearing it, you're thinking that's just me. Or you're thinking that's got to be some kind of devil. You've got to come to the place where you know Him and know His voice, really like I know the voice of my wife. It's got to be on that level of intimacy, okay? And I know her voice. See, people are pretty good at counterfeiting a voice. Somebody might call and counterfeit her voice. And if it's only a few words, I might be fooled. But if they talk very long, I know Sue. I'll be able to tell if they talk very long. No, that's not her. You're a counterfeit. And that's the way you'll be too here in the Holy Ghost. It gets to be less and less guesswork all the time. I can almost tell, I say almost, because I don't know anybody that's walking 100% in this. But I mean, I have thoughts all day long. I have all kinds of thoughts. Good stuff, bad stuff, in-between stuff. You don't. I'm sure all yours are holy and righteous. But anyway, I have all kinds of thoughts. But let's just talk about the good ones for a minute. You know, like, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. And that'd be a good thing to do. You know, and I've gotten to the point now where I can just, okay, those are all, you know, I know that those are just my thoughts. And then suddenly a thought will come and I'll go, that's him. That's an assignment from heaven. And I know it. Well, how do you know it? Practice. Experience. Get to know him. There's no substitute for it. Take your trips to the barber shop at 2 in the afternoon. Find out it wasn't God and quit being. Don't come back saying, why did God send me to the barber shop at 2 in the afternoon when nobody was there? Be willing, be humble enough to go, it wasn't God. And learn. That's how you learn. If you don't admit that and learn from it, then you're just going to stay right there for a long time. You don't want that. Okay. We've got to get past here. So he says, I look into your heart today and your trust in me has grown greatly this month. And now that I find this level of trust in your heart, I will begin revealing unto you one instruction at a time, those simple things that must be done to disentangle you from the ropes of bondage that you have devised yourself. You should know that I will reveal these instructions to you at the level where I find trust in your heart to obey me. There is still distrust in your heart toward the Spirit of the living God. I am not surprised. I am not shocked. I am not offended. But I will work with you and bring you the mind of Christ in those areas where your trust is developed sufficiently to obey what I say. As you see the fruit of obeying each instruction, your trust in me will increase, and rope by rope by rope, you shall be free. Well, and I told you last time, I gave you some examples, a few things of how he did that, little by little by little. And it really dawned on me a few years later, this was in 98, that first time that in 2003 when Sue and I began really to travel, one day I was out on the what they call the high veld. It's the high grasslands in South Africa, and we were on a game reserve, and we're driving in this thing they call a Kumbi. It's a cross between a van and a Land Rover. This thing will climb over anything. I mean, you know, and here we are, and man, I'm in Africa. I have to pinch myself to believe this is really true. We're driving out through there, and there's elephants over on that side, and I see all kind, you know, other kind of wild animals over on the left. We actually had to stop and let a giraffe pass in front of us, you know. I mean, this is great. And I'm remembering that word. I'm remembering somewhere in here he says, you'll be like the calf let loose from the stall. You'll be free to run out into the fields and kick and jump. See, I grew up, we visited Granddad's farm. Or really, it was a ranch down in Shawnee. And he raised Black Angus cattle. I remember seeing the calves every spring. Boy, those calves get out there and, I mean, they'll jump up in the air and kick and twist and just glad to be alive, you know. That's the way I felt there in South Africa, and I remembered this word, and I'm thinking, thank God he cut me free from the ropes. Well, I don't care what kind of trap you feel like you're in, he can cut you free from your ropes too. Hallelujah. He's not talking about getting you out of your marriage, by the way. He wants to heal your marriage. Get that straight. Now here we start tonight. This is the next paragraph. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, what he's about to say here, please keep it in the context. I'll talk more about this as we go through here. He gives one of the primary reasons why hope is deferred. This is not the only reason, and I'll get onto it a little more here in a little bit. The kind he's talking about, he defines it further down. So don't check out on me when you hear this one statement, okay? He says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. What causes hope to be deferred? Do you think it is your father's desire that his children be sick of heart for decades because of deferred hope? Such is not the case. Again, I ask, what causes hope to be deferred? Now, don't stumble at this. He's going to define it. The answer is lack of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. There are some elements of hope that are completely in the Father's seasons. He's talking about the second coming of Christ. He's talking about the tribulation time. He's talking about things that are in His own hand. Jesus said there were certain things. He said that's completely in the Father's hand. Even I don't know some of those things. Remember that? Those things can't be changed, but he's not talking about those. He said those are deferred and cannot be altered. But I'm speaking of those things on this side of the veil, where the Father puts his dreams, his visions, and his hopes into his children as they spend time in fellowship with him. What causes those hopes to be deferred? Again, I say it is lack of faith. Now he defines it. The faith I am speaking of is the kind that will hear instruction and obey without question. Those things revealed by the Spirit from the mind of Christ. Then he gives an example. Israel's hope of possessing the land was deferred for 40 years because they would not hearken to his voice nor obey without question his instruction. Their trust was not sufficient to hear and obey. Did you hear what he said to me up there earlier? I look into your heart. I don't find enough trust to obey me. In another document later on that we haven't got to yet, he expands on that a little bit. He says one of the reasons that he doesn't give you an instruction when he looks in your heart and knows you're not going to obey it, you just don't have enough trust to do it. He says disobedience is what opens the door to the enemy. I don't casually toss the Father's lambs to the wolves by giving them an instruction that I plainly see they don't have enough trust and faith to obey it in the first place. So that tells me, number one, sometimes I've asked and the silence was deafening. I wonder how many times he looked in my heart and goes, I can't tell you. You wouldn't do it. And if for me to give you that instruction and you disobey it, now you're in disobedience and the enemy just going to have his way. Well, what's the cure for something like that? The message. Continuing to pray, continuing to fast, continuing to meditate. Let him take hold of your heart, transform you more to the image of Christ, and your trust level will increase. Okay? But you can come to the place where he'll flat tell you, I can't tell you. Jesus did. He says, I have a lot of things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now. The Holy Spirit will tell you that same thing sometimes. So, well, I can't tell you yet. You need to go fast and pray. Later on, again, more instructions. He gave me an instruction one time that says, make a fasting schedule. Oh, that's fun. Yeah, make a fasting schedule. Okay? Now, for him to give me that instruction meant he looked into my heart and saw that I could do it. Didn't say I would do it. He saw that I could do it. Okay? We'll get into that here in a minute. So let me read this again. Israel's hope of possessing the land was deferred for 40 years because they would not hearken to his voice nor obey without question his instruction. They could not enter in because of unbelief. It is the same with every hope that the Father has not placed in his own hand, such as the things of the time of the end, the tribulation, the second coming of Christ. You can't change those things. But when it comes to your calling and your vision and the things he's telling you to do, things he wants you to stand for, those can be changed. He said, regarding all else on this side of the veil, hope is manifested. Now, that's what we want. Hope is manifested. What it is you've been hoping for is manifested. When faith has measured to the hear and obey level. So, well, I've been believing God for 10 years. Gary says, me too. Well, how come it hadn't come? There are seasons for things. Okay? We're not talking about that. Okay, we'll just take something. I want to take something that we can all relate to. Let's say you had a disease of some kind. Okay? And what does the Word say? You don't have to have a special rhema from God. You know, by His stripes you what? From His point of view, it's already done already. All right? And so you say, well, I've done everything I know to do and it's still in my body. I mean, this disease, my hope of being healed is not manifested. Okay? You could take poverty. Back when Sue and I, in those early days when money was staying away and even, you know, great abundance. I mean, it was really staying away well. And, well, he knew I had this big stronghold. The problem really wasn't the money. The problem was this big stronghold in Gary that if you had God, you had to be broke. put into me by nice religious people from the time I was about 4 years old in pulpits, you know. And he had to deal with, so he had to give me instructions to deal with the stronghold. What were the instructions? Well, they sound stupid to the natural mind. He says, I want you to take these three verses. And they were, again, Psalms 34:10, 2 Corinthians 8:9, Philippians 4:19. Now, it doesn't have to be those three verses. Those are just the three. He says, I want you to write those out on a 3x5 card, and I want you to say them out loud with your mouth 4 hours a day. Now, just, you know, just us now. How stupid is that? I mean, I'm an engineer, for crying out loud. You know, I try and think I at least have some sense. Now, what in the world good does it do for me to speak words into the air? You know, that's going to get the bills paid, isn't it? You know, I didn't know much about strongholds in those days. He didn't tell me that the problem's in you, boy. He didn't tell me. He's just giving me an instruction because he's looking at me and seeing what the real problem is. My hope is deferred because it's a problem with me. It's not a problem with God. It's not a problem with the victory Jesus won. It's not a problem like they'll tell you. See, they'll have healing lines, you know, and they'll say, well, okay. And I know why they do it. You know, the natural mind is trying to come up with some reason. This one got healed, that one got healed, the next one got healed. They prayed for you and you didn't get healed. Well, one of the things they'll say is, well, it's just not God's timing. Phooey! Now, that's a lie. I know why they do it. They're trying to help your feelings, you know, and that's okay to a certain extent, but it's not true. What do you think? God's going down through there? Okay, I heal this one, this one, this one. Oh, there's just something about you I don't like. I ain't healing you. Come back in a week, and we'll see about it then. Do you think that's... And besides that, his word already said, by his stripes ye were healed. Himself bore, past tense, bore our sicknesses, carried our pains. See, these are the things that hope needs to be manifested now, and he wants it manifested now. And if it's not being manifested, if his hope is being deferred, it's because of a problem with us. So he'll start giving you instructions. Could be as silly as mine. I finally made out the 3x5 card. You know, and every day I was going to do it. Nah, just too dumb. I can't do this. And I'd walk off, talk myself out of it again. Well, what happened with your finances? They kept getting worse. Time goes by. And I actually started it a couple of times. My God shall supply all my need. You know, nobody's around. I'm all by myself, according to Israel. I'm thinking, every devil in hell is camped on my shoulder going, this is stupid. Now you've become one of those weirdos, you know. Yeah, this is going to get the bills paid. See, I didn't know that there was a stronghold in me that had to be broken up. God says, is not my word like a hammer? He saw this big old stronghold in Gary. And every time I would say, my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, is like going, bam, that sledgehammer was hitting those bricks that stronghold was made out of. Well, I didn't do it. I started it and didn't do it. Started it, didn't do it. It's kind of like Alan's 31-day fast. You know, I did a whole lot of 4-hour, 5-minute confession times. Got real good at that. But finally, our situation just got so bad. I would like to tell you it was my great faith and my love of Jesus and my perfect obedience. I would love to tell you those things. But the truth of the matter is, the only thing that ever got me to do it, it was like Sue and I had finally arrived at the great abyss financially. Our toes were hanging out over the edge. And it's absolute certain suicide and death. You know, I mean, there's nothing left to do. I thought, what have I got to lose? So months later, after he gave me the instruction, I finally made it the first 4 hours. Did it, and heaven opened to Gary. And the glory of God came down like liquid sunshine. And flowing on those rays was $100 bills. Is that right? Gold filled your pockets. What did you receive, Brother Gary? Felt more like a fool than I did 4 hours ago. hoping to God nobody saw me or heard me. Felt like a complete idiot. A little bit of a sore throat because I did it too loud. What about your finances? They got worse. I don't know exactly what day I started it. I know it was in November when I finally started obeying Him. Now, I'm doing this on purpose. Every day, I find, now one thing about me, when I really start on something, I have no quitting sense. And once I make up my mind, that's the way it's going to be. Okay? So the next day, I did it for 4 hours. The next day, I did it for 4 hours. I did it probably 6 days a week. I don't think I did it on Sundays, but I did it 6 days a week. Now, I'm doing it on purpose. November, December. Did things get better? They got worse. January, every day, 4 hours. Things get better? They got worse. February, March, April. Did things get better? They got worse. Now, I'm doing all the rest of the message, too. I was praying in tongues all that I could. I was out of the trucks at this point, and I was renovating a rent house that Sue and I had had for a long time. So I could pray in tongues while I was doing all the working. But during that confession time, I took the time. I didn't do anything else but walk the floor and confess that for 4 hours a day. Did you get that? November, December, January, February, March, and April. And I believe it was right near the end of the month. I'd have to go back and look. Finally. Now, yes, sir. Before April, one day something on the inside of me changed. The best way I've tried to describe it, that stronghold came down. It's like you've lived in one room for a long time. And there's a door there. And you want to go into the next room because there's freedom there. But you're trapped in this one. That's what a stronghold is. You can't get out of it. But one day I stepped over that threshold and I knew I did. Something changed on the inside of me. I was not the same then. I've never been the same since. And it's like I stepped from one room across that threshold into another room. And I drove home that day and I told Sue. And we had the stack of bills. They were almost a foot high. Most of them overdue. Sit on the dining table. And I walked in, I pointed at that stack of bills, and I said, I don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. From that, you didn't find anything negative coming out of my mouth anymore about our finances. Now, it didn't. In the natural, it didn't change for quite a while yet. But one day in April, suddenly, I like that word, suddenly. I'll go ahead and tell you, we wound up closing on that rent house, and that was God all the time anyway. We closed on that rent house, and the amount that we got out of it, I sat right down with that stack of bills after depositing the check. I wrote every one of them out, all the debts, all the past due, all the penalties, everything. And I got down to the last one, and we were $10 short. $10 short. And I thought, God, this can't be God. Let's just worship the Lord. So we worship God and just praise the Lord, and the mail ran out there and got the mail. Got a check from somebody for $20. $20, if I remember right. That's been a long time. I may have to go back and check my math. I know that we wrote out that last one. We had less than $10 left over. And I took Sue and we got hamburger and fries. Debt free. Hallelujah. Now, that was the bottom of our roller coaster ride. Have we had some bumpy bumps since then? Yes, we have. You know, even Jesus, that says the devil, said he left him until a more opportune time. He'll come around and try your ground again. Okay? But from that, I've never gone back to the guy I was before. You cannot convince me God wants you poor. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you sick either. Now, the point there was this. Let me read it to you again. He's talking about what causes that kind of hope to be deferred, whether it be prosperity, whether it be healing, could be your ministry. So, well, how come? I mean, God has prophesied to me and told us and prophesied, and we're going to be in ministry. We're going to be traveling. We're going to be doing all these things, you know. And here it's been 5 years or 10 years, and what's holding it up? What's causing that hope to be deferred? Well, very often, he says, what causes these hopes to be deferred? Again, I say it's lack of faith. And the faith I'm speaking of is the kind that will hear instruction and obey without question those things revealed by the Spirit from the mind of Christ. What if I would have still been disobeying Him? What if I never had done it yet? That was in 1996, 95, somewhere back in there. You know, I could still be deferring that whole thing. We could still not be in ministry, could still not have been around the world, could still not have done. That could all still be deferred. And every time I pray, I could still hear Him say, I want you to take these three verses. I want you to walk the floor, and I want you to confess them 4 hours a day. I could still be deferring that hope. It's at the hear and obey level. All right, we've got to move on. He said, it's the same with every hope that the Father has not placed in His own hand, such as the things of the time of the end. Regarding all else on this side of the veil, hope is manifested when faith is measured to the hear and obey level. Faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience produces nothing. Instructions without obedience bring no results. Now, I'm just going to give you a few. I made a list here just as I was praying and thinking about these things over the years. I told you about that one. Here's a few other instructions I've received over the years that if I hadn't have done them, we still wouldn't be in ministry. We'd still be wondering, well, why did we get all those prophecies and we're not in ministry yet? One of the early ones was make a prayer schedule. He wanted me praying 40 hours a week after I left the trucks. If I hadn't have done that, what if I'd have kept deferring that? Oh, I'm going to go around to prayer. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. 10 years goes by, and you go, how come I'm not in ministry? And he's going, when are you going to make that prayer schedule and do it? Another one, make that fasting schedule. Shandai Mahandai, I tell you what. God, I didn't want to do that. And he wasn't even after me to do long ones. He was just trying to get me to do, series fasting. And I, Gary, you just, by this point, you'd learned your lesson. And you just jumped right in and did exactly what he said. Well, I did make the schedule. Printed it out in 5 colors. It's real pretty. I could show it to you today. I wish I'd have got it and found what year that he hadn't. Oh, I do know what. Oh, Lord. Lord. I'm going to have to tell you. Well, it was 1998. It was during this same time. Gary, when did you? When did you really fully obey? 2002. And then I did it for other reasons. I did it because I was another hope that's still deferred at this point is I wanted to get Lynn Perez's boy Tommy out of the chair. He's got, I think it's cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy 1. And all of us have done everything that we can. Sue and I've been there and prayed, and others have been there and prayed and did all that we knew to do. And I know if Jesus was there, he'd just get him flat out of the chair. I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind about that. But yet when I'd pray it, it doesn't happen. Well, I go to a church that's pastored by Dave Roberson, who says, if you've got unbelief, and when the disciples said, well, how come it didn't happen when we prayed? It's because of your unbelief. Ugh. Well, how do I get rid of it? Prayer and fasting. So I made up my mind in 2002. I was going to go 1 year with that series fasting without any breaks. I had really done series fasting before. I'd fast a day. I'd do it all day, not eat at night. Do it all day. 3 months later, I'd do another day. A month later, I might do 2 days. But This time I got serious. 2002, the whole year. I'd go right in. Might be one day on, one day off, 2 days on, 2 days off, three. But I went right back into it. I never went any gaps. And the idea being, trying to bring the flesh lower. Did it get Tommy out of the chair? No. But you've heard me tell it was involved in bringing the flesh lower, where I did get past another stronghold I had that enabled us to start traveling overseas. And as soon as that stronghold was gone, guess what? He sent us overseas. Amazing. But I hate to admit to you, I went from 1998 till the year 2002 before I really obeyed what he said to me. But I did. So it's all God's fault that I wasn't traveling overseas sooner. Why did God prophesy all this ministry and I'm still sitting here? Well, are you doing what he told you? Another one he told me. Last week I talked to you about how he taught me how to delegate. That wasn't easy for me. One of the early ones, learn how to use a computer. I know he keeps telling me this. I know there's people in the sound of my voice that he's been dealing with some of you just to learn to type. It's hard to use a computer if you can't type. Chicka, chicka, chicka. I am lightning fast. I have a computer that runs 2,000 megahertz per second. Really? Let me see you use it. Tack. Tack, tack. 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 You need that, don't you? But, and the Lord, I want to be in ministry. Well, I want you to learn how to type. And you don't connect it up. Or you think, like I did, well, that's silly. It's got nothing to do with ministry. In my case, I had no idea how important me learning how to use a computer was. I had no idea how important that was going to be. But it was. And I would have deferred things a long time. Another one, that first one I told you about when he told me to lose 40 pounds. Now, what if I would have deferred that one? Probably wouldn't be here talking to you tonight, and you could forget the rest of the story because Gary probably would have died in 1994, December 5th, 1994. Because that's when I had that heart attack, and I barely made it. I came within a breath of leaving the planet a couple of times during that. And I to this day, I wonder. See, he had given me that instruction, and I had lost 40 pounds. It took me a while to do it. And I just wonder. I come so close to leaving the planet. If my heart had been carrying another 40 pounds, would I have survived it? I doubt it. Well, how much would that have deferred the ministry? Forever. That would have deferred it permanently. And other people would see the devil would use that to make people doubt prophecy, because we'd had prophecy already. Back in the 80s, we'd had prophecies about being in ministry. And, skeptics. God would use something like that, say, see, I told you there's nothing to that prophecy. They never did get into ministry or anything, He just died. Anyway, got to go quicker. He says, for your mind's sake, call it lack of faith or call it lack of trust. The end result is the same. Failure to hear the instruction that comes from the mind of Christ and failure to act on those instructions causes hope to be deferred. Remember a week or two ago, I told you about, now this was a long time ago, when our daughters were in rebellion. They're 2 years apart, so they're all teenagers at the same time. Pray for any family that has three teenage daughters all at the same time. And I told you about, I started hearing the Lord two different times especially. I was just minding my own business. I was praying at home, and I heard him, go get in the car. Drive west, turn right, turn left, go up this street, turn down that street. Had me pull in the one time into a parking space at a hamburger-type joint. And I never did see my daughter, but the space I pulled into, she was in the space next to me. I couldn't see her because the windows were so tinted, but boy, she saw Daddy. And whatever... it changed the course of events that night. And whatever the devil had planned didn't happen. Okay? Then the other night I told you about the same kind of deal. Turn left, turn right, turn left, drive here. Pull in that driveway, go knock on the door. And I don't know this house. I don't know anybody there. And I'm going, what am I going to tell whoever answers the door? What are you doing here? God sent me. Oh, that's going to go over real good. I knock on the door opens. Who is it? It's my daughter. somewhere she's not supposed to be with a boy. There's a guy in there. Now, they weren't doing anything yet. So which daughter was it? None of you. It's none of your business. But anyway, again, it changed the order of events. Okay? So I was thinking about this where he's saying the hear and obey level. What if I would have ignored either one of those nights? Just hearing things. It's not God. And what if, God forbid, and this is an example, it would never happen and will never happen, but just say the devil's plan was to kill her. And he's doing everything he can to get it across to me. And giving me instruction, I'm hearing it, and I could have sloughed it off. I remember how it was. I was watching TV, and I could have just sat there and kept watching TV. And what if his plan for her that night would have been to kill her? I'm wondering, would I be blaming God still to this day? You know? I don't know why I didn't protect my daughter. We've got to be careful, see? Hear and obey level. All right. Now he said there's even one element even more fundamental than that. And by that he means hear and obey. Instructions that are not heard cannot be acted on. And many hear not the voice of him who speaks from heaven, for they've not learned to sit and hear my counsel. Again, I say, it is I who brings the mind of Christ to every believer. I bring his mind in a precise way for those who will sit and listen to my counsel of detailed instructions. Every instruction they receive from me, it will not add to their burdens. But the reason I'm laughing is I just saw a picture of me when I was trying to learn the computer. See, at the moment, it may seem like it's adding to your burdens. He kept dealing with me. Learn to use a computer. So finally we bought our first used computer. I'm not even going to tell you. Okay. Not the memory. The hard drive was 8 gig. Not the memory in the computer. The hard drive was 8 gig. How many of you remember that? It had Windows 3.0. Anybody? Tim, anybody else? Yeah, there we go. All right. Here I am trying to learn this thing. I'm following the instructions. I'm so intimidated. My mind has not tried to learn anything really since 1969, and this was in the 80s. I'm trying to learn this thing. And I'd read the instructions. Do this, click it, take it. Do that, take it, take it, take it. Hit enter, and enter, and the thing would crash. Man, I'd have to reload Windows back on it and start all over again, you know, and here we go, and format C. I'm an expert at formatting C. I'm telling you, I can format C. And I'd do it again, and crash. And I'd get sued. My brain would just lock up trying to learn this stuff. I'd come thundering in out of the, we had it in the bedroom. I'd come thundering into the living room. Just trying to calm down, you know. And finally I'd calm down and I'd walk back into that thing. And now I'm talking to inanimate objects. You know, I'd walk in and I'd talk to it. You are a machine. You are going to obey me. Do you understand that? Like it had a mind of its own, you know. But this thing's intimidating me, at one-eyed monster. I'd slap it, you know. You're going to obey me, I said. The help files became my best friends. That along with Four Dummies books. Windows for Dummies, Word for Dummies. A friend of mine who had a better computer. I was using PW Data. Nobody ever heard of that now, but it was PW Data at the time. And it didn't use hardly any memory. So a friend of mine says, what you need is Word Perfect. Now he had a lot better computer. We put that on there. He said, this is going to be great. When it comes up, it looks nice. You know, it looks a lot better than PW Data. Okay. So I typed, how now, brown cow. And nothing happened. I said, But I can see the little hard drive light. It's just working away. It's just working and working and working. I'm thinking, I'll go. You know, we went into the living room. I had some coffee, poured me a cup of coffee, walked back in, nothing had happened yet. Walk back out. Turn on the news. Watch the headlines. Walk back in. About the time I walk back in, it goes, H. I'm going, this is not going to work. Had to take that. But I'm telling you, at the time, the burden didn't seem all that light. And I did have to learn it. It didn't seem all that light when he told me to lose 40 pounds. But I'm telling you, it is the truth. His burden, really, if you'll go ahead and do that, what it'll free him up to do in your life, when you start obeying those instructions like that. Lord, we have sent, if I hadn't got past that poverty mentality, if I hadn't obeyed him, and I'm not past it as far as he wants me to be to this day. We should be way beyond where we are, okay? But even that much victory, we have sent free tapes around this world. We have sent the Word of God for free. One time in South Africa, I met a man who lives, he's on my mailing list. He's received tapes from me. And I met him. He had a job parking cars out in the parking lot there, about like 15 cents an hour or something. And he knew who I was. And we got to talking. And I said, well, yeah, I recognize your name. I said, where do you live? And it was one of those shack places, you know, just a hovel where they don't have any electricity or anything. I said, well, you don't have any electricity there, do you? He says, no. I said, well, how did you listen to the tapes? He says, I have a friend who has electricity. And a whole group of us gathers at his house, and I bring the tapes, and he has the player. And we'll sit there and we'll listen. What if I'd have never walked the floor and confessed those verses 4 hours a day like he told me? Now, it'll be something different with you. See, what people make the mistake is, I'm going to take those same three verses, and I'm going to go walk the floor 4 hours a day, and I'm going to say them. Well, that won't hurt you. But that may not be his plan for your stronghold. See, he may be wanting you to stop pornography. Never get any amens on that at all. He may be wanting you to treat your husband or your wife better. He may be wanting you to stop going to the casino. Maybe, like the one that the other day, he was telling me, I just can't hear God, Brother Gary. I just can't hear God. Really? He was right out in the foyer of the church. Now, nobody was around. The Holy Spirit will never embarrass you. I just can't hear God. Really? And by a word of knowledge, he said, now, don't be afraid to get in the line. He doesn't do this all the time. But I just knew. And I said, well, it'd really help if you'd quit drinking and sleeping around. He didn't even try and deny it. I said, well, I've been trying to stop. Well, he wasn't really having so much trouble hearing God. He was having trouble hearing, all right, but it's because he'd seared his own conscience. The Holy Ghost speaks to you through the same door that your new nature speaks to you. The same place where you get that green light, red light, this is okay, that's not okay. The same place in you where that comes is the exact same place where the Holy Ghost talks. And if you, on purpose, start nailing 2x4s over that door to say, I don't want to hear my conscience. I want to do what I want to do. And then say, but I want to hear God's instructions to make me a rich gospel entrepreneur. Well, that same door that you're nailing shut is the one the Holy Ghost talks to you through. So sometimes there's some instructions to get you to the place where you start really hearing His instructions for your call. Okay. Hallelujah. He says, every instruction they receive from me, it will not add to their burdens. It will free them from their burdens. For the instructions that come from the mind of Christ are intended to loose me in my power in the lives of every believer. His instructions do not come in such a fashion that I would stand idle while men should work. His instructions come that men can rest in the freedom which belongs to the sons of the living God. While the Spirit performs all things according to my power that is resident within myself. This is the help that the Father and the Son have sent to their serving sons, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Your responsibility, as I come with instruction that will disentangle you from the ropes, is to not pick up the ropes that have been loosed. Let them go. Turn them over to me. Trust me that I know what I'm doing. Trust me that I can set you free even while taking the burdens that you have carried upon myself. Do not pick up the ropes as they fall. Let them fall, that you may go free. Again, you will enjoy this freedom. You shall be as the calf who has been loosed from the stall and can now run through the meadows that glisten brilliantly with flowers. That's exactly the way I felt there in South Africa. I thought, man, this is too cool. We were in another time. I got to go to another game reserve, and it was in a Toyota. And we pulled right. There's no fences. You know, all these animals are just in there loose. We pulled up to a rhino herd, and each rhino is bigger than the Toyota. And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm from here to the front row from this rhino. And these two male rhinos decide they're going to start squaring off at each other. And they start, you know, I've got it on video. They start kicking up a little dust, and I'm going, I hope they don't come this way. But I'm loving every minute of it. And all that time I'm there. And plus ministering the Word of God on a daily basis, preached in all these different places. You know, it was great. And I'm thinking, if I hadn't have listened to those instructions and let Him loose me from those boulders, it would still be deferred. And I'd be wondering, why is God taking so long? He says, you will feel the warmth of His sun upon you. As you look into the blue sky He has made for you, and you shall be free. You shall enjoy the freedom. You shall run and jump and skip and rejoice at the freedom that comes to you as you loose every burden unto me. His yoke is easy, His burden is light, says the Spirit of grace. Now quickly, turn to Proverbs 13. The thing about Proverbs, as you read them, when you first start reading them, which by the way, this was one of my early assignments from the Lord, was to read, you know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and He had me read one chapter a day. And then two chapters the last day, and sometimes three if it's February. I did that for, I don't know, maybe 2 years. First 2 years I got saved, in addition to whatever else I did. Because He said, I want that wisdom established in you. And so I just made that a practice for years, and I recommend that for anybody. It's good to help renew your mind. But you got to remember that Proverbs was written under the law, so it's still types and shadows. You got to be careful you don't get in bondage even then. So even as we read this, remember, those people did not have the Holy Ghost in the same way that you have. So what God gave them to guide them was the law. So you'll hear the word commandment. But as a shadow of what we have today, when we read commandment in the King James, I want you to think instruction from the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because that's where we're really at. You getting your email from Jesus, if I can say it that way, but it comes by the Holy Ghost. So let's read it in the King James. Then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. So Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Boy, it does too, doesn't it? But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Thank God for the day it finally comes. But now see, I used to not connect this up. It seemed like these verses had nothing to do with each other. It took a long time for the Spirit of God to weave this together. He hasn't changed the subject here. Whoso despiseth the word, now I'm going to substitute instruction. See, the idea is you don't want your hope deferred anymore. You want to do whatever it is to get that thing manifested. All right? Well, whoso despises the instruction shall be destroyed, but he that fears, reverences the instruction, shall be rewarded. Rewarded with what? The hope being manifested. The law of the wise, or you could say the instructions that come from heaven, are a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Now, in the examples I gave you tonight, I was a transgressor several times. He told me to walk the floor and speak those verses 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. And I transgressed. For a long time, I didn't do it. For a long time, I didn't obey Him about the computer. For a long time, I didn't obey Him about the fasting. And the way of the transgressor is hard. When you don't obey Him, then it causes that hope to keep being deferred. He's trying to get you there. Every prudent man deals with knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge you received from heaven concerning this hope that you're trying to see manifested. But a fool, he just lays open his folly, and that's what I did, for example. Oh, this is too stupid to do. I'm not going to do these 4 hours a day. Come on. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall come to him that refuses instruction. And here, thank God, they use the right word. See, just refuse instruction, poverty and shame. And you're going, well, what's the deal? Why isn't God manifesting this? Well, are you obeying the instruction? Are you refusing the instruction? But he that regards the reproof, in other words, he that hears and obeys, he shall be honored. Honored how? You will have your hope manifested in the earth. It won't be deferred anymore. Now let me read it to you from the Amplified. Close your Bible. Don't be looking at it. Just listen. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. Whosoever despises the word and the counsel of God brings destruction upon himself. But he who reverently fears and respects the commandment of God, or let's say the instruction of God, is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard, like the barren, dry soil or the impassable swamp. Every prudent man deals with knowledge. In other words, whatever God says to you, you're going to deal with that. But a self-confident fool exposes and flaunts his folly. A wicked messenger falls into evil, but a faithful ambassador brings healing. Poverty and shame comes to him who refuses instruction and correction. But he who heeds reproof is honored. Is that good stuff or what? Say, well, Gary, is there anything I can do so that my hope is not deferred any longer? My question would be, what's the last thing he said to you? What's the last instruction he gave you? Are you really doing it? Or are you half-hearted doing it? Or are you not doing it at all? That's that thing. It may not even seem connected to the thing you're believing for, but it is connected. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that?